Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Excellent. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 12, we're going to start there this morning. We've got a full morning. We're going to be having communion together. We're going to be praying for people that have just recently gone through jumping to church. You want to join the church. We're going to pray for some life group leaders that we're going to be releasing into leadership. And we want to see some things in the Word. We want to just carry on a little bit from, obviously, what God was saying last week and kind of link in what He wants to say and do this morning. So we just need the time to do all of these things today. Last week was a very powerful time, the revival days, and the Sunday morning was a very powerful day. We did things in a different way, just bringing the Word first before we did anything else. And just through the revival days and last Sunday, God is really speaking to us as a body of people so that we really are aligned with Him and lined up with Him in terms of His Lordship, in terms of His Word, in terms of the authority of His Word and who He is. And so that brings a greater strength and depth of unity, of one heart and one mind amongst us as a people. And I don't know about you guys, but over this last week, I've been much more aware of His Lordship and wanting to be under His Lordship this week. And just in some of the things I've been reading, some of the things just when, you know, you spend time with the Lord, but, you know, when you're walking through your life and doing stuff during the days and everything, just being more aware of His Lordship and wanting to make sure I'm submitting to His Lordship in my thinking and in conversations and in different ways. And it was quite a strong morning last Sunday. And obviously God was speaking to all of us, including myself, all of us, with a fresh submission to Him, to leadership, to one another, to His Word, and all of those kind of things. And He kind of followed what happened on Sunday with a really powerful time on Wednesday night in the Victory in Prayer meeting, which was here. And I think for the first time, maybe not for the first time, but to our knowledge, there were more men here at the prayer meeting than women. That's cool, isn't it? And one of the things that we felt before Wednesday was that we needed to pray on Wednesday evening for the men and for households. And didn't know how that was going to work out. But, you know, when you come to prayer meetings or VIP, sometimes you have a whole number of things that you feel God wants us to pray through, but you don't necessarily know how it's going to work out. It's not that we set one thing, just hit it one thing after another like a shopping list. But we want to be open to how God wants to lead us and if there's anything He wants to do in the middle of all that. And as we began to, we just had some worship and everything, and we then were going to begin to pray. We asked the men to kind of end up coming down to the sort of open space we had down in the middle, and for all the women to gather around them. And we began to pray for the men, and different people who were leading things came and prayed stuff and prophesied things. And from what I've heard, a lot of men who were here, you know, really received from God and met with God in different ways. But if you kind of follow that on from last week and what God was doing and what happened on Sunday morning, there's an order that God has, and there's an order in which God works. And He wants all of us in our lives in every way to be in His order, in His way, in His purpose. And part of that order is that there's a fresh lordship of who He is in our lives. And that means there's the fresh lordship or authority of His Word in our lives so that we really are submitted to the Word. And one of the things for me, as I've been reading different things this week, and is for a lot of us that may have been Christians for many years, or you've been in church many years, heard lots of preaching and teaching, and there may be a certain truths or passages in the Bible that we just take for granted, or we read them without really thinking exactly what they mean, or is there a deeper thing there that God is saying than I've just known before? And certain things we take for granted because it's just a phrase that we use about Christianity or about the way God is. And you know, when you're kind of saying, God, I want to be submitted to the lordship of your word in a fresh way, then you really think more about how you take every thought captive and bring it under the lordship of Jesus Christ, because you want to know, well, what is the lordship of Jesus Christ then that I'm submitting my thinking to so that my thinking is correct? And there's an order that, and it seems to work out in practice, that whenever men are moving with God, then the church thrives and grows. Whenever the men are moving in the things of God and standing up in their place, their position under God, then there seems to be a release of God to move and touch every person, women, children, whatever age group, whatever, you know. And so God was obviously encouraging us as part of what he was doing in Revival Days and last Sunday, that he wanted to, In line with submitting to his word, in line with his order of how he wants us to be in a greater, deeper flow of unity together, then the men, obviously, in God's purpose, have got to stand up in their position that God has called us to be, so that there is a right order in the church. Anyway, amen. So, And the other thing we prayed for was households. And now, at first, I was like, okay, God, how do you link these together? But God linked all these together in terms of praying for men, praying for households, the whole prayer strategy, everything that he's called us to. And God brings all this stuff together. And the word, the one word that underlines everything that we've been talking about is the word agreement. If we are in agreement with God and with his word, then we're going to be in agreement with one another. If his word is Lord, or his word is his lordship written down, or then if we are submitting ourselves to his word, then we're going to come into a place of agreement together about all things, or many things, or, you know, or whatever's in God's word. And last week, the scripture that God gave me to start with last week was one in Matthew 12:25, where it says, a household divided against itself will not stand. And God was speaking to all of us, hopefully, in some way or other last week. And in some way or other, hopefully, there was a response from all of us in relation to something that God has said. If God ever brings a word to us on a Sunday or whenever, and we sit there and think, well, I don't need to respond to that in any way, then you're on very dodgy ground. You're probably in some ways deceiving yourself, because whenever God brings a word, he brings it to move us forward. When I say response, it doesn't necessarily mean you've always got to repent, but there's always needs to be a response where we step into more of God, or more of the word, or more of the truth because of what God says. If he knows he needs to, he's never going to say anything where we'll just sit there, tick all the boxes and go, well, that's cool. Tell him, you know, now what? He's always going to bring something that stirs you up, or that challenges you, or inspires you, or motivates you, or rebukes you even, or whatever, you know, God, or corrects you. God will always bring something to us that requires or demands a response from us, okay? That's why the word is living and active. It's always alive. It's always doing something. So it always wants to cause life to be taking place inside of us, okay? And so this scripture that God brought, a house divided against itself will not stand. Partly God is with that understanding, he was saying that there are things that are not right in the body, and we need to all align together under him and under his word so that there can be agreement in a fresh way into another level than we've been having, okay? And so there was a response, hopefully, from all of us last week. And because, as I said last week, we don't ever want another meeting like that one. We want to move on from there, okay? And so this week, God wants to speak to us a bit about being a household of faith, okay? Now, to be a household of faith, then Where does faith come from? Faith comes from hearing the word, okay? Basically, faith is inspired and given through the word and everything. And so therefore, to be a household of faith means that we need to be submitted to the authority of his word. And when we understand what his word is and we're in agreement, that releases faith for the purposes that God has us here for, okay? So just turn to Matthew chapter 18. Turn over a few pages and we'll look at a few other verses there. On Sunday night last week with all the younger guys, the teenagers and the early 20s, we had a really, really, really exciting word last Sunday night, okay? And on the Saturday afternoon, when I was praying, as I said last week, praying about Saturday night, and God started talking about Sunday morning, he also spoke to me about what he wanted to do Sunday evening and what he wanted to say. And I speak once a month in that Sunday night thing, okay? And what he told me to speak about, I thought, oh, they're going to love that. They really are going to love it, all these guys. And what God spoke to me about was obey your parents and honour, you know, your father and mother in the Lord and all of that kind of stuff. And so we spent 15 minutes just winding them all up, getting them to, you know, they didn't know what I was going to speak about. But just, you know, this is going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. And just linking in a few other bits. And everybody was like, oh, it's going to be good. This, you know, and you know, as soon as you read it, I was expecting them to jump, you know, to jump on their chairs, clap, throw money at me and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I read the scripture and you could hear this audible. But what God said to me is for those guys, what God's been saying about being under his lordship and the lordship of his word, that's their earthing point. Now, hopefully, and what I've heard since was fairly good responses generally to it, and even one or two parents saying, not, you know, just saying that, yeah, my young person's been different this week or whatever, which is great because the word works. That's what it's supposed to do, isn't it? But it was a very tangible, real earthing point for those young people that were here. And I said to these guys, look, if you just do this, regardless of what your parents do for a minute, I said, if you do this, the atmosphere in your home will change. I said, your parents have a responsibility to be doing certain things with you guys, so that doesn't negate them. But you can't not do what the word says here just because your parents might not be fulfilling what you think they should be doing in your life. And therefore, at least if you do what God's commanding you to do here, and obviously to encourage him, it comes with a great promise, doesn't it, about everything's going to go well with you, and you're going to have a great life and live long if you do these things. So God knows there has to be a bit of an incentive there for obedience sometimes, doesn't he? Does he not? And some people call it blackmail, but it's not. It's just God promising that if we obey him, then it's going to go great. So but that was the earthing point for them, for those younger guys. What does this really mean, all this stuff? It means, well, obey your parents. And when you uncover what is in those scriptures and what some of the words mean, it's awesome. It's not just do as you're told and just, you know, tell them they're great even when you don't think they are and all of that. It's what is in the depth of those words and what comes out that enables you to live fully what God wants to do through them. So it was a great evening, but it felt a bit like the morning to me, just speaking. There was a real depth to it, simple but really deep. And we need to do some stuff for the parents in relation to that, but not this morning, okay? So just turn to Matthew 18 and verses 15 to 20, okay? It says here, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brothers over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Tax collectors get a real tough time, don't they? They always get lumped in with the bad guys. So if you're a tax collector here this morning, bless you. You can be saved. But then, in the middle of this little passage that Jesus is talking about, where He's talking about dealing with people who are sin, confronting it and see that they respond, and if they don't, how to deal with it. Right in the middle of where there is disagreement and disunity, look what Jesus says. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them, or there am I with them. So the first few verses are about disagreement, discord, disunity, being out of sorts with people. But then he said, if you deal with discord, disunity, if you confront things and get them sorted, then you're going to come to a place of agreement. But look what happens when there's agreement. Because where there's no agreement, there's discord, disunity, and you won't see the Father do the things that he promises, and I will not be there among you in the way that I want to be. And so he says in the middle of this discord or scenario of discord, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And we'll come to the next bit in a minute. Now, look, God has been working in all of us in these past few weeks. He's been challenging us to be under his word and the authority of his word and his lordship. Therefore, that means our attitudes, motives, thinking, everything has to come into line with who he is. That means we submit ourselves to him. Now, that challenges all of us because a lot of the time we like to think what we think. A lot of time we think we are right. And we don't like people pointing out things that are not right in our lives. But the word says here, if somebody's in sin, then go and speak to them. And if they don't respond, take somebody else. And, you know, so there's a responsibility in the body to sharpen each other. The iron sharpens iron, that we inspire one another, we motivate one another, we encourage each other to be moving with God and to keep away from the stuff that causes disunity, and that we guard the unity that God wants to have amongst us. So it's not just talking about leadership speaking on a platform to everybody. It says that if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, and if he doesn't, then take another brother. So there's some dynamic going on in the body here where there's body life going on, sharpening, encouraging, strengthening each other, saying, hey, don't live like that. You want to live like this. Come on, get that sorted in your life. Come on, let's stay true to the word of God. Let's submit ourselves to the word. Let's get that attitude sorted. Let's get that motive changed. Let's get that way of thinking into line with the word of God. So there's this kind of camaraderie, this unity in the body that is so important to us that we don't want to just let things ripple underneath the surface. Why? Because we understand where there's agreement and where there's unity, then whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is going to be loosed in heaven. Now, the word bind there means to tie up or to put in chains. Okay? And so he says, whatever you tie up, whatever you put in chains on earth will be tied up and put in chains in heaven. Then it says, whatever you loose. Now, the word loose there means to break up, to destroy, to melt, and to dissolve. That's pretty good, isn't it? Anyway, that's pretty good. So the word says here, whatever you break up, destroy, dissolve, and melt on earth will be destroyed, broken up, dissolved, and melted in heaven. How many of you want to see answers? We all do, don't we? We want to see breakthroughs, we want to see answers and all of that. Well, there's just a few little keys in here that God has been speaking about so that we're in unity together and in line with what God's been saying about us being a house of prayer for all nations. And that's Isaiah 56, verse 7, where it talks about that. And then Jesus talks about that himself in Matthew 21. When he comes into the temple, clears it out, and he said, this place is a house of prayer. And if we're going to be in agreement in prayer and we understand the power of prayer, that's why we need to understand the power of unity and the power of not letting things just dribble on underneath the surface, okay? And so this word loose, to break up, to destroy, to dissolve, and to melt. So we have that power, or that is what is going on when we are in agreement and we pray together. That is what goes on. And now, it's not just about the prayer room. It's also about our households. our families or our wider households or our circle of friendships. Let's put it that way. We're touching on a number of different things this morning. And I've been looking through the Bible, really, and especially the New Testament, where it talks about the house of or families or households and all that kind of stuff. And it talks about households being saved. Or it talks about meeting, you know, the household of so-and-so all became believers as a result of this. And there's a whole number of things where it just talks about household. One person gets saved, but then the whole household then believes. Okay? And it talks about the church that meets in the house of and all these kind of things when you read through. But what it talks about is a unity that is in a household, a unity of purpose that is within a family. And the Bible, when it talks about family, isn't just a couple of, you know, the parents and the kids. It's your wider family. I think we said this last week. Cross generations. And it talks about a network of friends, those you're in relationship with. Now, God wants our households to have right order in them. And to have right order, the father or the dad or whoever the main person, you know, in that place needs to stand up in their right place of leadership and authority before God so that the rest of the household can then be blessed. If you're a single parent, whether a man or a woman, if you stand up in your place in God, your children, your family will be blessed. It's not just if you're a single mum and obviously there's no adult man in the house and why are we going to be blessed? Yes, of course you're going to be blessed. As you stand up in that place, then you're going to be blessed. But you see, God, when he talks about households, goes beyond just our specific family unit of a parent or parents and their kids. It talks about a household, a network of relationships. So if we understand that in a life group context, then life groups isn't something we attend. There's a network of relationships here that are supposed to have a unity of spirit and purpose, that when you're in agreement and you take authority over things, you bind and loose, then the purposes of God are released into somebody's situation, into their circumstances. Now, the word agree here means to be harmonious, to be in accord with, or to be together on something. Now, how many of you know if you're together on something, you're together? All right. Harmonious is when there's a sound, when everything is playing, you know, with each other in the right way, playing the right notes, the right chords, everything's in tune. There's a harmony there. There's a oneness there. There's a sound that you hear that doesn't jar anything in you. There's something that comes across that is just, there's a clear sound coming from whatever's being played by music, by the instruments or whatever. Okay. So this agreement, harmonious, to be in accord with and to be together. But then the word anything there, again, I tell you, if two of you agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. The word anything there is to do with anything. Actually, the word means to do with any business that needs sorting out, any matter that needs to be resolved, any situation that needs to come into line with the word of God. Anything that needs to take place, okay? So it says here again, I tell you that if two of you agree, if you're in harmony, if you're in accord, if you're together, then any business that needs to be resolved will be done by my Father in heaven. Now the word done there means will be brought into being, will be brought to pass, will be fulfilled by, or will be caused to be done by. That's pretty good, isn't it? So it talks about here, this is going to be done by my Father. So my Father's going to bring these things into being. He will bring these things to pass. He will fulfill them and he will cause them to be done. So when we understand this power of agreement, we're submitted to him and his word, the authority of all of those things. We're in agreement together because we've dealt with sin. We're challenging, sparking, spurring each other on to walk with God in whatever sphere of life, whatever moment of life we're in, that we're being like that. That when we come together to agree about something to happen in a family situation, something to happen in people we're reaching out to, something to happen in a work situation, something to happen in somebody's life, where there's agreement, it says here, here that we're going to tie up, we're going to put things in chains, things are going to be broken up, destroyed, dissolved and melted. And because we're in a harmonious accord together in agreement, anything, any business, any matter, any situation is going to be changed and brought into being, brought to pass, fulfilled and caused to take place by my Father in heaven. And so it's not just a few words that we're hoping God to respond to. It's the power of heaven, or the force of heaven, or the power of God that is being released to change a situation, to change a circumstance. Now, God wants us to have victory in every household in this church. If a household is struggling, even if it's a family unit, for example, then it is we as the body, part of our role with that and responsibility with that is not just to see a family struggling. There's a responsibility. If there's a family unit and somebody's struggling within it, people that know them need to get around them. It's not just leadership responsibility to get in there to solve it. It's not just the pastoral team. We'll get on the phone to them and they'll sort it out and then I won't have to deal with it. If you know people that are friends of yours in the church and their family or their unit is struggling in some way, then we want to get into a place of agreement with one another to see the situation changed and turn round. Do we not? Because God wants all of us to live with harmony, not the person, but his harmony in our homes, in our households. And sometimes when you're in the middle of a situation that you're struggling with, it's not easy sometimes to rise up in it. And that's why we want to come alongside one another as, if you like, brothers and sisters, to use the biblical kind of terms here. And actually we strengthen one another. We get alongside one another to spur each other on, to stand in agreement, to join our faith together, to bind whatever's going on that shouldn't be going on, and then loose whatever needs to take place to break up and all that kind of stuff to deal with it, but then to release the purpose of God in those situations. Amos 3 verse 3 says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so. Just want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10 for a minute. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. That's pretty good, isn't it? I appeal to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you, that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. What are we? We're transformed by the renewing of our minds. And how many of you know that a lot of things that are set off in your life start with a thought? And when you think about something, often it has a feeling or an emotion that goes with that thought. There's a response in your body that goes with your thought, the way your whole body's made up. So when you think about things in certain ways, like I think I said something like this to the students the other day, but if I said to you, mate, I'm going to give you £1 million, what would your response be?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Is that it? I mean, you'd be jumping up and down, oh, £1 million. But if I, so why? Because being given £1 million is a happy thought, is it not? So if I say, I'm going to give you £1 million, here it is. Everything within you is going to just be going, mad. Oh, I've got £1 million. You turn around, you tell everybody, oh, and everybody else will be going, wait a minute, I wish you'd given me £1 million. You know? But if I came up to you and just had a right go at you and just was pretty nasty to you and negative and all of that kind of thing, he's probably not going to stand there and go, yeah, he hates me. Oh, you know.
Okay, what? Thank you very much.
Not in this illustration, you wouldn't, no. You'd be really cheesed off, wouldn't you? Yeah, that's right. Good answer. Okay. And... you see, if I was really negative, really critical, really judgmental and everything, you see, that in his mind would set a whole different response in his body. He would shut down, he'd look down, he'd feel depressed, he'd feel, you know, he might feel angry, he might feel really rejected, whatever goes on. Because what goes on up here determines whatever goes on in here, in the rest of it. And so in terms of lining up ourselves with the word, you know, it's very easy to be negative, very easy to be critical, very easy to join the club of being negative and all of that. But that's never going to change anything. And so why is God saying, submit to me and my word in a fresh way, the lordship of my word, and come into a line, deal with anything that can bring any division or take you out of harmony with one another or cause factions, dissensions and divisions in any way, shape or form, no matter how little they may be, is because God's purpose for our lives is so much bigger than a bit of tittle-tattle going on and a bit of this and that and the other, that he's saying if we understand that we line ourselves up with him and that we get everything in right order, then when we agree together, things will change in our personal lives, things will change in our work life, things will change in our community, things will change in our nation, because when the body of Christ comes together and agrees, he says, there I am among them. It doesn't just mean he's nicely there in his presence. What that means in what we read earlier in Matthew 18, there I am I with them, it means there I am moving amongst them, going ahead of them. So it's not just that I want to be there so you feel good Jesus is here because we're in agreement. He's like, I am there at work among you, moving ahead of you, going before you. Now, I don't know about you, but that's what I want more and more, right? And so in one sense, there's an encouragement from God to just deal with anything that might be going on in our lives, to keep short accounts with him, to stay in a place of agreement and unity and oneness. And as we read here, so that there may be no divisions among you, so that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. How can we be agreed, or how can we be in unity or be united in mind and thought when we submit to the lordship of his word? Because the lordship of his word, that means whoever we are coming together, we've got to submit our thoughts and understanding to his mind, what he thinks, his thoughts and how he wants it to be. That means there's got to be a submission from all of us in that way. Now, we've been sort of building up this 24-hour prayer over the last few weeks. And by the middle of January, we're kind of looking for that to be 24 hours every day of the week, every month, and so on. And on your, somewhere around, you should have one of these little cards that we've done. You might not be able to read the front one side particularly clearly, but it wasn't necessarily intended to read it really clearly. It's just to give you, this is the sort of strategy in a nutshell. And if you look at the side with the wheel on it, in the middle it talks about 27 prayer for us here in Horsham, Apostolic Hub of Kingdom Faith. And then the initial things around it are 12 different areas that we've broken the vision down into in terms of areas we pray for. And then as you go out wide in that where you can't particularly read it, it just fills some of the detail in. There's a lot more detail, but there's no point in putting it all on there. And then it goes out into the nation and into the nations. And one of the things that the Lord's been saying to us is about being a house of prayer for all nations. And I suppose the response, if you like, that we need to have to that. If you look on the back, it then breaks down some of the different areas so you can read it more clearly. But one of the things that we felt the other week in the leadership, church leadership, when we were praying together and praying through some stuff and wanting to hear the Lord and things, was that we really felt that it would be important for all of us, that's like everybody, every one of us, to just make a an agreement with God and with one another to really take hold of what the prayer strategy is all about, because it's not just an activity. Otherwise, it's going to end up being hard work. It's actually part of who we are. And this is what God wants to help us understand, that to pray is not an activity because we're supposed to. Prayer comes out of who we are, what we're part of, the body. And this prayer strategy, as we've put on the back of this card here, there's a place that we want people to sign and put a date and all of that this morning. Because what we want to do, we want to make a covenant, if you like, or an agreement with God and with one another to be part of praying, to be part of being a house of prayer for all nations. And to be part of praying into an aspect or several, if that's what you want to do, different aspects of the vision or God's purposes. Some of this isn't just praying for what Kingdom Faith is doing. Obviously, part of the whole prayer strategy is praying for the nation, praying for the nations and things. And so if God has spoken to us as a body to be a house of prayer for all nations, it doesn't just mean a few people that want to do it. It actually means he's talking to all of us to be part of this strategy, part of this thing. And on the bottom there, it says, an active member of Kingdom Faith and as part of my covenant to the Lord, to one another, and to see the vision fulfilled, to be a house of prayer for all nations, I'm committed to give at least 1 hour of my time per week to pray in the prayer house, okay, which is up at the Bible College, up at where the offices are. So there's a challenge here for all of us, and we really felt it was important that we have something like this that we then sign and say, yes, God, I want to actively make a decision. I want to make an agreement with you and with everybody else that I'm going to give myself to be part of what you've called us to be a house of prayer for all nations. You can sign that, put the date on it and whatever, and then put it in your Bible, carry it. We don't want this in from you. This is something you can carry in your Bible just to remind you and so that you know what's going on. And it's a challenge, but it's one way of us submitting to his word, what he's been saying to us. Now, I totally understand there's going to be maybe some practical situations for whatever reason where it's not possible for you to get to the prayer house, the prayer rooms to pray. And so if there is a practical reason why you can't, then that's fine, okay? But the most important thing is that we're praying. You know, not that, well, if I'm not in the prayer house, does that mean it doesn't count? No, that's not at all. So, but what we need to understand is that we're part of the vision and part of the outworking of that by giving ourselves to it. We've had a number of people say to us that they went to pray for things they didn't really have a heart for, but they just felt it would be good to go and pray. And as they've been praying, they've actually then got a heart for what they've been praying for. And so God can work in us and do things in us. And so what we want to ask you guys to do today is we're going to have a number of tables later on. We're going to have communion first, but where you can come and actually write down on the sheet. Excuse me, I'm not feeling 100% this morning. Feel like putting my shorts on and running outside in the cold weather. Just feel really hot. So my thoughts are a bit sort of all over the shop at the moment. What we're going to want you to do is we want you to come and just put your name down on the sheet, okay, and as to when you're going to come and pray, all right, and to just make a marker, if you like, put a line in the sand and say, hey, this is when I'm going to come and pray for this hour. If you want to pray for more than 1 hour, that's fine, you know, but just to say, this is when I'm going to come and pray. Now, it could be in the afternoon, it could be in the middle of the night, it's just whenever it's going to work with your schedule. You know your schedule, you might be on shift work, you might have certain patterns, you might not be Monday to Friday, you might do 4 days on, 4 days off, you might do night work. You know, whatever your pattern of life is, you know how to fit in the things that you need to do. And so what we're saying is there's at least 1 hour in the week, you know, where you can come and pray in the prayer room. But if physically not possible, then that's to go there, then fine. If you need to pray at home or whatever, because that's the only way it's going to work, then, you know, we need to know that. But what we're going to do is when, you know, there might be three or four or five people that sign up to pray at the same time. That's great. That's fine. And we've been taking people through the prayer academy, training people how to lead in prayer and help people to sort of flow together in agreement in prayer, just so that, you know, these times are really powerful that we're going to be kind of accelerating into the new year. And so we're not going to do this straight away, but if you got one of these cards, then everybody will need one so that you can put the relevant information in there at any given moment, okay? Now, prayer is one of these funny things, isn't it? When you don't pray, you don't want to. When you do pray, you want to pray more. You know, there are some people who just love to pray, aren't there? And you think, man, you're like, what's up with you? You always want to pray. It's amazing. I wish I was like that, you know? But actually, when you pray, you find, man, I want to pray. It's like the Word sometimes. You know, sometimes you think, oh, I need to read the Bible more or whatever. And when you start reading the Word, it comes alive. You think, man, I should do this more. And it's like anything. The more you do something, the more you get a hunger for it, whatever it is in life. Okay, the more you eat, the more you want. Okay, basically, right? It's just the principle of life, isn't it? The more you give yourself to something, the more you want of whatever that is. And it's the same with spiritual things. As you give yourself to them. But prayer is one of those things that always has a resistance to it. Because the devil knows if there's even two that come together in agreement in God's name, he knows the word and what the word says, that the Father is going to do whatever those two believers bind and loose and agree and all of that kind of stuff. So the devil hates it when the church rises up to pray. Because he knows the power of it when two, let alone any more than that, but even when two are in agreement together to release the purposes of God in situations. And so we're going to do that in a little while, but we're going to have communion first of all, okay? But we're going to hit some, well, I know time's going to be fairly short this morning, but I want us to pray, okay, for households this morning, okay? Households that are maybe a specific family unit, but also households in terms of wider circle of friendships. Because if that's how God seemed to move a lot in the New Testament, then we want to line our faith up with how God wants to move and do things. So in any given city, in various places in the New Testament, you find that there are churches that are meeting in the house of so-and-so in the same city in several households, meeting together in various places around the city. So it wasn't just a central gathering all the time. There were households of faith that met, that had certain places where they, you know, they went to. And yes, they all met together in a bigger sense and everything. But the households of faith were not just a family unit. They were a wider network of friendships. These guys spurred each other on. We can read it in Acts chapter 2. What began to happen in the early church there, you probably know a lot of those verses well. They devoted themselves and they devoted themselves to four things. But then as a result, what happened? They shared everything together. They sold things and brought the money to get distributed. They made sure nobody was in need. As a result of that, miracles were taking place. And it said daily people being added to their number. Don't know about you, but we're not there yet on daily things, people being added. But that's where we want to get to. Is that right? And so God is just encouraging us again this week to come to a place of agreement in everything with him and with one another in our lives. And so we're going to have, if Chad, if you can come up, mate. We're going to just spend a few minutes having communion now and just making sure that we really are submitted to the Lord and his lordship and his word in our lives, okay? And I don't know, maybe for some of you in your marriage, there's some things that you might need to bring under his lordship. In your family, you might need to bring some things under his lordship. There might be a network of friends that you are part of, okay? And you might need to bring some things under his lordship in relation to that network of friends. Maybe some of the conversations that go on. Some of the stuff you guys, I don't know, people might do together. I don't know, some things where there's fallouts and things and that. I don't know, you know, but there might just be some things that, you know, we can easily live with if we're not careful. And just think, well, you know, just a bit upset, cheesed off. Well, never mind, you know. And you just carry on like nothing's happened. And whereas God doesn't want those things. He wants there to be this unity of mind and thought unity of heart and purpose, unity of spirit and all of that in the life of the church, in life groups or whatever form of households like that, there to be that unity of heart and purpose in there. For the prayer strategy, being a house of prayer for all nations, he wants us to be in agreement so there's a real unity and oneness in that whole area as well. It's like God is just making us fit for purpose and what he's doing in and amongst our lives. So let's stand together, shall we? We had a powerful time Wednesday. Just want to close your eyes a minute. Powerful time. If we could have all the servers forward, just ready, that'd be great. Thanks. Wednesday was a very powerful evening, praying for the men, first of all, and the different things that God was saying. And as we were praying and how we were responding. And I think just all of the men here today, whether you're married or not, you know, when the men, not just the husbands, but when the men, all the blokes, are in right order with God and making sure our lives are submitted to his word in the right way, there can be such a strength. It's kind of brothers together, spurring each other on. And if there's another bloke that is struggling or not doing so well, that we don't just leave them or just, well, that's just where they're at, never mind. And we're so engrossed in our own life that we let others slide. It's like God wants to open our eyes this morning to one another. He wants to open, first of all, the men's eyes to one another to say, hey, I can spur that guy on. I can encourage him. I can get alongside him. I can speak and you know, just strength, get alongside, be a mate to him, be a support to him, encourage him, speak well of him, help to inspire him, to spur him on in some way, to help lift him out of maybe a pit that he feels like he's in, or he doesn't know how to get out of it, or circumstances that are crowding around. Maybe I can get alongside and encourage and strength. Maybe I can walk with him and help him through what he's doing. And that is a challenge. It challenges our own life. It challenges our time, our schedules a little bit. But the strength, the unity of purpose and thought and heart that comes from that, what that then releases into a household or into a network of friendships and relationships, it's going to be powerful. So, first of all, well, we can do this for everybody, but particularly the men this morning. Just bring yourself under his lordship, as we're going to have communion together in a few moments, and we just want to make sure that everything is under his lordship and the lordship of his word in our lives. So all the men here, just maybe stand up a bit straighter than you normally would, and instead of looking down to the ground, you know, standing and praying with your head down, maybe just hold your head up and look up. Jesus, when he prayed, looked up to heavens with his arms raised, and when he prayed, he said heaven was open. That's a great beginning. As he was praying, heaven was open and the Holy Spirit came down on him like a dove. Well, the Holy Spirit wants to come down on you this morning. So maybe all the men, just lift your head up. Maybe there's an expectation this morning. Father, I just submit to you and your word in a fresh way. I want to submit to your lordship and the way of your word in my life. I submit my minds and my attitudes, my motives, my thoughts, perceptions, and my heart. All of those things. I submit my, if you're married, I submit my marriage, my relationship with my wife. Father, if there's, you know, if there's anything you need to do in relation to your marriage right now, just be quick to deal with it. God can do something in a moment of time in your heart that changes the whole way you see something. But are you prepared to submit something to his lordship and his word? If you know you need to do something there, just ask him to forgive you for whatever part you've played that causes factions or divisions or dissensions in that situation. Bring it under his lordship right now. Say, Father, I submit to your word and your way right now. Father, do a heart work in me as I respond to you now. Line up my life with your word now, because I need to be in line with your word so I can be the man of God you've called me to be in my marriage or in my family, so that my household is blessed, so that there's a release of your life and unity in my household in a fresh way, so that healing can come where there there's been strife and difficulty or whatever going on. Maybe, guys here, your wife's not saved. Maybe she's not here. She's not saved, and it's like there's tensions and all of that. But just bring yourself under His Lordship. Father, I thank You that You're Lord of my life. You're Lord of my family. You're Lord of my marriage. God wants you to have agreement in your home. We said something about tithing last week, and just to clarify something, if you're married to an unsaved, if your wife or husband is unsaved, then there's got to be agreement in the home. And often the unmarried partner is like, there's no way you're giving any money to the church. We've had a couple of conversations this week with people, and it's like, well, God knows your heart that you want to do something. If you're not in a position because there's not an agreement there with your husband and wife, then you don't need to tithe in that way. God's not going to keep you obliged to something when He knows the situation between you and your husband or wife. It's just going to cause a lot of faction and dissension. I heard of another situation where somebody has been saved the last few years and their wife hasn't been. But as they've been coming and God has been working, and their wife is not saved yet, but there's a softening there. God is moving and doing stuff. Now there's an opening, even before she's saved, for the person to be able to give to the church and sow into the church, because she's seeing the change that God has made in her husband and what's going on there. To just submit to His Lordship afresh this morning. In circles of friendship, blokes, guys, you need to take the lead in circles of friendships. Especially, there might be a bunch of single people and there's a circle of friendships, guys and girls, and you hang out together, you spend time together, whatever age you might be. And the blokes, the men in there, you need to be the influences in a positive way in that circle of friendships. We dealt with on Wednesday the guys that were here, where people maybe been insecure to do towards women, or they've been crushed in a situation, or whatever might have taken place, and we took authority over some of those things and just prayed through some of those things, so that there wouldn't be an intimidation from the opposite sex. There wouldn't be a fear maybe of the opposite sex, but there would be a confidence because of knowing their identity in Christ. And men, part of our responsibility is to take the lead role in circles of friendships and relationships, that we affect those things in a positive way and bring something good into those things to inspire others to move forward with God. So if you know you haven't been like that, and you've caused a few issues to go on in situations, you need to just bring that under His Lordship. Maybe you need to ask God to forgive you for some things. Things you've spoken about, things you've done in actions, and just bring yourself under His Lordship and make a decision now in your heart. Father, I want to honour You in this circle of friendships that I have, this household of friendships I have. I want to honour You and be a sparker of Your life, be somebody that honours You in that scenario, that spurs other blokes on, spurs other women on to move forward in You, to be godly people, to live in a right way before You and before one another. So that we're spurring each other on in faith and in good deeds. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Father, we thank You as we just come to eat and drink of You this morning. Father, I thank You for Your Lordship in a fresh way. I thank You that Your Lordship brings release into our lives. And when we submit to Your word, your truth sets us free. You set us free from ourselves. You set us free from the lies of the enemy. The truth sets us free, that the enemy's arrows and darts kind of just spin off and bounce off that shield of faith that we're holding up. Father, I thank You that living according to Your word enables us to live in health and healing and confidence and boldness even though sometimes we might feel like things are not quite going our way, that's where we can get the word out and begin to use that word to rise above whatever's going on and the lies or the taunts of the enemy or whatever somebody else might say, so that our thoughts come into line with your word. And when they come into line with your word, it releases faith. It releases something positive into our life that determines a change on the inside of us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to come, or we're going to pass the bread and the wine round. But we're coming before the Lord this morning, bringing ourselves under His Lordship. Make a decision. I want to spur others on. I want to be somebody who spurs others and not hinders them. I want to be an encouragement to others, not a discouragement. I want to be in that perfect unity with others, not in any disunity. I want to make sure I'm speaking well than speaking something else. So on that night, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Every time you do this, remember me." And then he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant." Something new is about to be released onto the earth. "This is the blood of the new covenant that is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Again, every time you drink this, remember me." So this is a powerful moment this morning where we're just thanking him for the release of his life in our lives this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's healing this morning as you eat and drink of him. You know, when you line your life up with him, it releases his life. It releases his power into your body. You know, I don't know what the official statistic is, but I think somewhere between 80 and 90% of illnesses are psychosomatic. They start in the mind. I don't know, it's somewhere around, it's over 80%, I think, are psychosomatic. And that's why the word is like medicine to our souls, to our bodies, to our lives. Because when we eat and drink of the word, it's like we're eating and drinking of life, eternal life. And as we've been submitting ourselves to him and over these last few weeks, as you eat and drink of him this morning, there's healing being released into people's bodies. There's a lady here, you've been living with aches and pains in your body for a period of time now. And there's been an issue in a relationship that you have with somebody. I don't know if it's just a friendship, I don't know if it's a marriage, but it's a relationship, a friendship that you have with somebody. And you've had aches and pains in your body, and some of it's to do with joints, and some of that's grown and become fairly difficult to handle, but it's actually to do with a forgiveness issue in your life. And you might have already forgiven that person this morning, but if you haven't and you know this is you, then you need to forgive whoever it is that you feel has wronged you and done something against you. And as you forgive this morning and you say, I cut free that person now from my life. I don't want any revenge. I don't want anything back on that person. I just cut them free now and I forgive them. As you do that, God's healing grace will just be released through your body. This joints and aches issue is going to go because it's linked with this unforgiveness scenario situation. And you just need to cut that off now, and things are going to change in your joints, and these aches and pains are going to just go because something that has gripped your soul, if you like, has been cut off and sorted. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your healing grace this morning. Let's just raise our hands. We're going to pray for households now in the church. Family units, wider circles of friends. A household in New Testament, as we've said, is generational household, grandmas, parents, children, all of those guys living together. It could be 30, 40, 50 more people living in a household. For us, it can be that, but it's also networks of friendships where people are in close relationship. They hang out with each other. They're in each other's homes and lives and all of that. And we're going to pray for healthy households in Kingdom Faith. You know, as we're reaching out to many people, we want to see many households coming to Christ. We want to see many households coming to faith. That it might be one person in that household that gets saved, but as a result, the whole household comes to Jesus and their lives are all transformed, not just individuals here and here, but God wants our faith to be really focused on households being saved, households of faith. Just raise your hands right now. Father, we thank you. For your lordship in our lives. And as we bring our own households and under your lordship right now, Father, I thank you for the release of healing into our households. Father, I thank you for the release of your life into families and households in this church where there's struggles and tensions and strife. Father, I thank you for your resolution and your answers and your healing in every person within that household. Father, I thank you just for the work of your Holy Spirit, even this week, to bring a resolution where there's been factions, divisions, tensions in marriages, in families, in households, and even networks of friendships and relationships. Father, we thank you that when you speak to us about these things, it's because you want to resolve things in these scenarios. So we take authority over every opposition, every division, every faction, every lie, everything that undermines unity. We tear those things down right now. We bind, we tie up, we put into chains every division right now. We break those things now in Jesus' name. And we just speak release right now of a healing, of unity, of oneness into families, into households in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you right now for your grace to be upon men in particular to respond to your word, because as blokes we need to take the initiative to bring healing and restoration into our homes, into our families, into our households. When the man takes his place, God is released in a fresh way. If you're a single mum here today, as you just stand in your, as the leader, if you like, in your home, you bring yourself under his lordship, you can determine things also. But also as a body, we have a responsibility to stand with single parents, single mums, to stand to be in agreement with them, to walk with them, that their family, their household or whatever also has right order in it, and that there's great relationships right throughout the family. So we speak healing, health, unity of heart and thought and mind right now into every household. We just speak a release of that right now. Even if this week there's some stuff to work through in these coming weeks, Father, we just release the healing to bring every resolution in these next coming days so that things come into your order from today onwards. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.